All right, then.
Can
so
you hear me?
yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
All right, then. Would you like to just get started right now?
Sure.
All right, then. Hello, everyone. My name is Nashawn Livingston here with Richard Kent. You are listening to WHUS Stores, and we are here, and we just have our podcast is dedicated to talking about insider information about UConn athletics, the state of UConn athletics across different things, including basketball, football, etc. Is there anything you would like to talk about first?
Sure. I mean, one good piece of news is that UConn and Rutgers are continuing their baseball rivalry. I don't believe that Rutgers was on the original schedule. They played the last 2 years, as you might know. I believe they played 3-game series the last 2 years, and they're playing again this year, a 1-game at in Piscataway. And I think Rutgers, UConn, and St. John's are really the three powers in the East.
Yeah, for sure. I know that UConn and St. John's have a very heated rivalry, but actually I didn't know much about the UConn-Rutgers rivalry, although I do know that we play just about every year. But how is that? Could you go into detail?
No, not only the last 2 years. It's been years in between games before the last 2 years. Rutgers beat UConn last year. It might have been the game that knocked them out of the tournament. UConn was on a long winning streak. I don't know the number of games, and Rutgers beat them at UConn.
Yeah, I know. That was I know that specifically. That was a very disappointing loss for UConn, and I do agree that that could have been the dagger that kept us out of the NCAA tourney that year.
Yeah, you got to remember, though, when something like that happens, it's kind of like a makeup call in basketball. The next year, that team, namely UConn, gets the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyways, I wanted just to, I know what I wanted to talk about was just a couple of things. Of course, we have to talk about the departure of Jim Mora for Colorado State.
Yeah, I mean, is it a lateral move? No, it's a move upwards. I can't believe Colorado State is paying them much more than he was making at UConn. He was making a good wage at UConn. I just think he wanted to be, you know, away from a team that's an independent. You know, only UConn and Notre Dame are independents, and I think he really liked the skiing out in Colorado. But am I going to say UConn hit a grand slam home run with a coach? No, but I think they hit a home run.
I honestly think that they did Jim Mora, great coach. I know I'm going to deeply miss him. Although, to be real, I thought that it was a little strange that he went to Colorado State of all places. But I do understand certain things. He wants to be closer to home. CSU has a path to the playoffs that we simply don't as an independent, which is unfortunate, but it is the reality of the situation. But like I said, again, I'm...
So let's parse that. What would have happened if UConn had gone 12-0?
So if UConn had gone 12-0, I honestly, it was never really well established what would happen. I would assume that it will be a similar rule to Notre Dame that will be in place next year, whereas if an independent finishes top 12 in the college football playoff rankings, then they make it in. But I don't think we would have been top 12 of the poll anyways.
No, but what kind of a ranking do you think UConn would have looked at 12-0, having won those, you know, the overtime games they lost?
I would say if it comes to, like, AP poll, I would say somewhere in the 20s, maybe, like, as high as 17, that range.
Yeah, I was thinking around 18. And, you have a first-team All-American in Skylar Bell, and having a first-team All-American is a huge benefit when it comes to polls and stuff like that.
For sure. Yeah, I know that at the end of the regular season, we were receiving votes. A few votes, but still, this is the first time that we've been in any ranking of any person since 2010.
Right.
Yeah, which is, it's just crazy to think about. Like, of course, I have to appreciate Jim Mora for all that he's done for us, just giving us a great 9-4 season last year and giving us this 9-3 season with the opportunity to get our first 10-win season in the FBS.
Yeah, I mean, the problem that UConn has, and listen, it's great that it's at Fenway. The problem it has is nobody from Army is going to opt out. UConn has opt-outs. I don't know the aggregate number of starters that are opting out. I heard 5, but I don't know if that is accurate.
I know the only thing I really know about it, I don't know the exact number, but I am aware that Joe Fignano and Skylar Bell, of course, they're going to be opting out. And Cam Edwards, who has entered the transfer portal, or at least plans to, has stated that he will be playing in the game.
Yeah, no, I heard that. Now, who is coaching the game?
I'm pretty sure it is Gordon Samis, of course, offensive coordinator, for those who don't know. He is the interim.
He's leaving, though.
He is, but from what I heard, he's going to be coaching the game.
I wonder why, and you never see it, but I wonder why your new coach is not coming into coaching.
Honestly, I don't know. I was kind of thinking about how Jason Candle, the former coach for Toledo, how he moved over here and why he's simply not coaching at the UConn game instead of Toledo. But it could very well be that. It could be that he just wants to ride it out with Toledo in the Boca Raton Bowl. And then afterwards, then he makes the jump to UConn. But I truly don't know.
I thought he was a UConn.
No, he is. He is. I'm saying that he was originally, of course, he's originally from Toledo. So it's
possible. No, I understand that. But I thought he had left Toledo.
It could be just.
I never heard that he was coaching Toledo in the ball game. That's my point.
Oh, I don't know then.
Yeah, because this is a crucial time period right now with, just keeping retention. I mean, retention is huge right now, and you have an opportunity to retain some key players.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Cam Edwards.
Yeah, as far as Cam Edwards goes, I do dearly hope he stays. I think that him being in the bowl game is a good sign for that. I think he might just need to see a little bit more of what the roster and the coaching staff have to offer for him.
Right, right. Yeah, I think Army opened as a 3-point favorite. I'm not sure where that sits right now.
I would believe it, honestly. I know they played a very close game to Navy. Navy's very good. And while they had a very rough beginning of the season, opening loss to FCS Tarleton State, they are 6-7, right? Because of the extra loss.
Yes.
They're 6-7, but they do have, they still are bowl eligible. And like you said, they're not going to be opting out. Not many players are going to be opting out.
Well, I don't think any will.
Yeah, and then the worst part is.
Go on. The worst part is
they run the triple option, which is something that we are weak against.
Right. You mentioned Tarleton State. You know who just beat them?
Yep, Villanova.
Yep, Villanova. Listen, can Villanova win a national championship? It is not impossible.
I believe so. I think the bracket is completely open for them. I know there's only 4 teams left, but that's how it works.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the entire Yale-Montana State game.
Mm-hmm.
And Villanova is better than Yale, and Montana State squeaked by that game.
Yeah. I think I also saw Villanova versus Harvard. Harvard was decimated.
Yep. And Harvard has probably an NFL quarterback, and he is in the portal right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea where he lands?
No, I have no idea.
Gotcha.
No idea at all. I think a very high level.
Yeah. But anyways, back to UConn. I know we've been talking about Jason Candle, and of course, I'm glad that he's here. I think he's a very good hire from Benedict. I was very much surprised by it. I thought it was going to be Kevin Cahill from Lehigh.
Me too. But I can't. I have a decent source inside the department, and that source said to me, FBS coach. So UConn got an FBS coach.
What are your thoughts on Candle?
I think it's. I think he's been great. I checked him out a lot after he got the position, and I think it's probably as good as UConn was going to do. Is it? You know, I know I have friends who are donors who wanted a John Gruden type hire.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yes, that wins the proverbial press conference, but it doesn't win you any more games than you're going to get with Kendall.
Fair enough. One thing that's really enticed me about Kendall is that he seems to be a very good recruiter at Toledo. It seems like he was really good at scouting underrated NFL talent. He got the best recruits in the MAC. And I think that some of those recruits possibly could come over here. I do know that we did get a recent one from the quarterback. His name was Bo. Just give me 1 second. But I do know that he was Bo Polston, excuse me. Bo Polston, and he had offers from some Big Ten schools, like lower end Big Ten, of course. But he did have Power Conference offers, and I do think he was very promising.
So you're saying, when did he come over? Is he now on the UConn roster?
Yes.
Okay, but he's not eligible for the ball game.
No, he's signed. He's a recruit.
Oh, he's a recruit, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
He just flipped.
Got it, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, that's certainly promising. The cachet of the name UConn in all sports is very valuable. And we know that the quote-unquote closer for the deal was Gino Auriemma, who had dinner with him at Gino's restaurant.
Yes, of course. And that's one of the things where I'm just glad that UConn sports, I think one of the great things about UConn sports is that they all kind of complement each other. Even when it's considered a basketball school, we are a basketball school. I won't deny that. But also, just seeing how Gino was able to convince Kendall to coming over here, it speaks volumes to UConn's branding and just athletic health, I'll say that.
Yep, I agree. Yeah. And the health can get healthier if Caden Pierce, who's on campus right now and will be at the game tomorrow night, right?
Tonight.
Oh, tonight.
Yes.
Okay, we'll be at the game tonight.
Yep.
If he ends up going to UConn.
Yeah, of course.
Because I firmly believe, and by the way, I think it's all UConn and Duke right now. I just don't view Gonzaga. I don't view Purdue anymore, and I don't view Louisville.
I think Louisville. Sorry, say that again.
No, Louisville's got the last visit.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
And he's gonna commit on January 15th. But I don't know. I don't see any school besides UConn and Duke. And there's arguments both ways.
Mm-hmm.
One very clear argument, like it or not, is it's tough to turn down Duke.
Yes.
I mean, that's just a fact.
Yes.
His closest friend, Jack Scott, is on the Duke roster from Princeton last year, and he's going to be a grad assistant under John Shire next year at Duke. Obviously a big factor.
Yes.
In getting a business degree from the Fuqua School of Business at Duke is another big factor.
Yeah. I think that Louisville was already a strange option because the school profile doesn't really fit the other ones. You know, Gonzaga is a little bit out there as well, but
Louisville has proximity to where he's from.
Oh, where is he from?
He's from Illinois.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, but
yep, he's from Illinois. But I do think it's UConn or Duke. UConn, I'm going to say now he gets more playing time than at Duke. I'm going to say now that he's, you know, obviously somewhat different, I should say, from Caravan.
Yep.
But he could slot into that three spot. And, you know, I'm not willing to say his two articulated goals are winning a national championship and getting most NBA ready.
Fair enough.
And we can't say right now whether or not UConn or Duke next year has a better chance to win. Well, I mean, I'll ask you this. Probably a good discussion. Right now, middle of December, you had $100 and you had to put it on UConn or Duke to win the national championship this year, who do you put it on?
Okay, this is going to sound really biased, but I put it on us. I think that, honestly, we haven't reached our full potential just because we're not 100% healthy, but I like our pieces more than Duke. I think Duke's front court is really carrying, and at some point their back court is going to be exposed.
Okay, first of all, I don't think it sounds like a homer position, because I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have an intangible that Duke doesn't have. You want, in the NCAA tournament, you want Danny Hurley and not John Shire coaching you.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right.
So I have a question.
How about that loss last year to Houston?
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
That was staggering to me. Staggering. I mean, there was a point in time in which that ESPN projection had Duke over 95% to win that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't just a loss. It was an absolute meltdown by the Blue Devils.
Yep.
Yeah, and the craziest part is that I just saw something the other day about how Cooper Flagg is the first 18-year-old to score 40 points in an NBA game. So the talent was there. It was pretty obvious that the talent was there. Just couldn't get over the hump.
Well, my analysis of that game, if I had to write up that game story, Con Knipple had 15 in the first half. I don't think he had 5 touches in the second half.
Oh, wow.
And listen, I'm as surprised as any. I'm going to ask you, I guess. Are you surprised at how well Con Knipple's playing in the NBA?
Kind of, but also not really, if I'm being real.
Okay. You saw something that would make him a top 2 or 3 rookie?
Not initially, although he was an excellent shooter.
But not as good a shooter as who?
It was supposed to be McNeely.
Not as good a shooter as who from the UConn team 2 years ago in the NBA right now?
Spencer, of course.
13 out of 14 threes. Who does that?
Yeah, I love seeing Spencer be such a great player in the NBA. I do know that, of course, he has his habit. He is his merchant for trash talking, but it's well earned at this point. He's scoring double digits. He's a great player for Memphis. He brings like a spark.
Steph Curry talks about, listen, he's the only guy in the NBA right now that's on path to 40-50-90. I mean, that's crazy.
I know. It's just, it's great seeing him do so well. It's just, whatever we were telling people about, like UConn fans were telling people about with Cam Spencer, is kind of being validated right now. Great player.
Hey, I had a year up on you. Remember that. I was telling people that when he was at Rutgers.
Yep.
And people, Rutgers fans, said, oh, he's no loss at all. He was an unbelievable loss to Rutgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just insane where he started out. He had like a humble beginning at Loyola Maryland, and then he transfers to Rutgers and then moves to UConn, wins a national championship, and he gets drafted pretty late in the second round for the draft that year. And now it's like he's provided his value. He's one of the most valuable players right now.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And listen, he plays in tandem with Steph Castle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Castle's been excellent as well.
Yeah, he was injured, of course. We're talking about two games now for Castle, one of which I think he had 30 or 31.
Yeah, he did. And it's like the NBA Cup, and he's been – I saw him. He was on the ladder for MVP. I don't think he's going to win it, but he was definitely in the running for it.
Right.
Yeah, I think, honestly, that just proves that that 24 UConn team was special. And even when you're looking at it on a smaller scale, like Tristan Newton has been tearing up the G League.
Yep. So, you know, looking at UConn this year, we have a problem that's going to start tonight, and that is that the NET is going to start to tumble a little bit.
Why do you say that?
Because of who you're playing.
Oh, Butler?
Not just Butler.
The Big East. Oh, yeah.
The Big East.
It's been rough.
I was going to go, but I didn't go because of the snow. I watched Seton Hall and Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
You give National Coach of the Year as of today to Shaheen Holloway, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But if they are the third best team in the Big East, there's a problem.
Yeah, for sure. Just a lot of things haven't been working out. Just, of course, St. John's. We'll start off with St. John's, who has been fine. They'll be making the tourney, but they've been incredibly disappointing. I wasn't convinced that they'd be the first-place team in the Big East. And, I mean, obviously I still feel the same way now, but I couldn't expect them to be this, like, underwhelming. They're good, but not elite.
There's only one elite team, and that's UConn.
Yes.
And I don't know. I think there are five or six elite national teams,
mm-hmm.
UConn being one of them.
Yes.
Obviously, Michigan is the best team in the country right now.
Yes, I agree.
Arizona?
Yes.
I saw Purdue in person 2 weeks ago. I don't buy it.
I think people have kind of laid their hands off of them for a little bit ever since that loss to Iowa State at home.
It wasn't just a loss. I mean, they were decimated.
Yes. Yeah, it was
so,
just...
I mean, we'll see with them. I mean, I think if you can handle and control Braden Smith, they're in trouble. And nobody has ever accused Matt Painter of being a great March coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just there are a couple of teams, of course, that are going to be contenders. I think UConn square up with them, but it's just like the difference is that those other teams have leagues in which they can be tested, whereas with UConn, the only real test is maybe St. John's. But even then, if it's St. John's on the road, that's basically a home game for UConn anyways.
No, not during the season.
Not during the season?
No. The Madison Square Garden game against St. John's is still a huge St. John's crowd.
Yeah.
But Big East tournament is different.
Yeah, sure.
But regular season, yeah. What we're talking about right now is you're playing for the number one seed in the East, which is Philadelphia and Washington.
Yes.
And you got Duke dangling on the other side.
Yes. Yeah, just I think that UConn really has to have at minimum three losses in the Big East to be still in the running for a one seed.
Yeah, I think that's worst case scenario.
What do you predict we go?
Either I'm going to say two losses.
Two losses?
Yeah.
Certainly doable.
Yeah. Yep.
Even
though I swore up and down on one of our podcasts that Seton Hall had no chance to beat UConn on January 13th, which is my birthday, by the way,
mm-hmm.
January 13th in New Jersey. I mean, I still don't think they do, but the chances got better.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I predict that we'll lose, I'll say three games. I think one is going to be maybe St. John's, although honestly, like St. John's, Seton Hall, at Seton Hall, of course, and at Butler. I just think that there's something in the water in Newark.
Listen, the game at Providence is always difficult.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, look, does UConn consider, yeah, I would say UConn probably considers Providence its rival. Mm-hmm. In the Big East, Providence certainly considers UConn its rival.
Yes.
So it's a rivalry game, and that's a tough building.
Yeah. I mean, Providence give us fits at Gamble last year. I will say that.
Right. Right, but it's the road game I'm really talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but...
So, you know, moving on to the women, it's just... I mean, it's crazy how good they are.
Yeah, there's...
So good. Two first-team All-Americans.
For sure.
You know, just made, obviously without Juju Watkins, but made USC look silly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've said it from day one. I'll say it again. I think they're going to play LSU for the national championship.
A lot of people are saying Texas. Texas has been very good.
Texas is good.
Mm-hmm.
Texas is in that next tier. Even though I don't necessarily agree with Kim Mulkey's scheduling this year,
mm-hmm.
This is a very elite offensive LSU team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited because I think that could be a very great matchup. I do think that UConn is the best team in the country by far right now, though.
Yep, I agree. I think what we're going to be talking about in April and May is where is this UConn team in the pantheon of great UConn teams?
Yes.
I mean, I have difficulty getting away from a team with Sue Bird, Swin Cash, Asia Jones,
mm-hmm.
Shea Ralph, Tamika Williams. I mean, you know, you didn't see that team in person.
Yeah.
That team was crazy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, even last year, like last year's team was dominant in the 20, but they were still a 2 seed.
Yeah, no. This is a better UConn team than last year.
Oh yeah, I believe so.
Deeper.
Yes. Yeah, the only team that's really given UConn a true fit was Michigan, but UConn was in control the whole game. It just ended up closer.
Yeah, I mean I'm blanking on that girl's name, but she
Silas Swartz.
She hit some crazy shots in the last 3 minutes.
I saw that. I was there at the game, and it was insane.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I don't.
But you're right. Never the feeling that UConn was going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like that's the good thing. That's how I felt about most of the UConn men's games, like aside from Arizona, of course. But just about all of them is like they were in control of the game for the most part. And even if the score was close, it wasn't a threat of them losing.
Right. So I was at the Garden for the Jimmy V.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
Two great games. I mean, Dibanska was just ridiculous in the second half of the first game. Ridiculous.
I was watching that.
Yep. And, you know, as I've said previously, I'm a huge Xavier Lee fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out of his shell against UConn. And he didn't see this, I'm sure, but against GW 2 days ago, he had 25. Shot 50% from three.
Wow.
Just was far and away the best player on the floor.
Yeah, I think Florida is obviously not as good as they were last year. I don't think they're a true national contender, but at the same time, all of their four losses have been very close, and three of them were to top five teams.
Yeah, I'm not a Boogie Flynn guy.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, too. I think Boogie Fland is kind of a bit of the guard play is worse, and a lot of it is Boogie Fland. So Lee really does need to, if they're going to be a truly great team on a deep run, it's going to be Lee that has to pick up the slack. And he has so far.
Well, be honest and be objective. First of all, had you ever seen Lee in person?
I have not seen him in person.
Had you ever seen him on TV?
I've seen him on TV.
Okay, and... How would you rate his performance against UConn?
Against UConn, I would say that in the first half, he had like, if I had to give a letter grade, an A in the first half against UConn, but like a C in the second half. I think he kind of disappeared a little bit, and then the air ball kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. But otherwise, right. I think he did a great job of keeping Florida in the game. I'll say that.
scored the last 10 points in the first half.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He had a great first half.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I heard...
That was... Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, I did actually watch a bit of the George Washington game, and I think from that point, it looks like Lee is just for real. Like, he is actually locking in.
Yeah, you watched it. When did you watch it?
I watched it sporadically between the middle and the end of the game, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Okay. Another thing about that game, I've been to the Garden for most of UConn's great games.
Mm-hmm.
The loudest crowd, of course, to a lot of people that were there, 2014 Elite Eight game against Michigan State, nothing louder than that. But this crowd was huge. I mean, there were end of the first game, there were no empty seats in that building.
I bet. I believe it.
Yeah. I think 19,454 is the number. Biggest college crowd in a long time there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was watching the BYU and Clemson game live on a live streamer, and I could hear "Let's Go Huskies" chants.
Yeah, at the end.
Yep. And then, of course, when Robert Wright hit that very, very disgusting three-pointer at the end to beat Clemson, I saw UConn fans in the background too.
Well, I was sitting for a while in the second row under the basket where the BYU players congregated and swarmed him after he hit a shot, and I thought I was going to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never seen... I mean, they went into the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was an insane game.
Yep, for sure.
But yeah.
Well, what I think we should do... is certainly pick up after the ball game against Army.
Yep.
I don't know that we're going to see a whole lot out of the men in December up until mid-January.
Yeah.
I don't have the women's schedule in front of me. When is the next? I know they play Iowa. I know they play Tennessee. When is the next big game?
The next big game, so if it's Iowa, that would be on the 20th in Barclays.
The 20th of December?
Yes. Yes, that would be December 20th.
So that'll be a test. That'll be a test.
Their next game period is tomorrow as of the recording of this video. That will be against Marquette, which is going to be an easy game.
Oh, yeah. Seton Hall is decent. St. John's is decent. Villanova is decent, but nobody's coming within 20.
Yeah.
You know that they moved the St. John's game to Madison Square Garden?
I did. That is great news.
Yeah, March 1st. Yeah, I would tell the listeners to grab tickets for that, because that's few and far between at MSG.
Yeah, for sure. And after Iowa, we don't have another truly big game non-conference until January 19th, which will be Notre Dame at Gamble.
All right, so there's Notre Dame, there's Tennessee, and there's Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
That's the remaining non-con opponents. Tennessee will be in February.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, we shall see. You have a happy holiday.
All right, you too, sir.
And we will convene when we have more to talk about.
Yes, of course. Well, then, it's great listening to you, Mr. Kent. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Nashawn Livingston here, of course, with the great Richard Kent. And have a happy holidays, everyone.
Take care.
You too.